As you know, we've been reading the Gospel of Mark most of this past year. Today, our reading from the seventh chapter brings us to the midpoint in the story. And Mark is still leading us toward the core of his message of the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. Just a quick recap. Leading up to today's events, Jesus had been ministering and preaching to his fellow Jews in Galilee. His words and actions frequently led to fierce criticism from the leaders of the various Jewish sects and power groups, Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, and supporters of King Herod. And that criticism was due in large part to Jesus' message and actions that showed God calls all people into God's kingdom, and to the actions he performed that demonstrated those words. Those actions kept bringing people rejected by the religious authorities within the kingdom. Lepers, cripples, women, unclean, traitors, children, all sorts of people who were regarded as ritually unclean are less important in the scheme of things. And this threatened the established order and had the potential of setting the various interest groups against each other. And then there were the Romans who controlled and subjected all of that land, and they had no desire to see the various religious sects fighting and arguing with each other. An authoritarian state like the Roman Empire will use force and killing if necessary to tamp down any restiveness that might lead to civil war or insurgency. Remember, while Saddam Hussein was running the show, there were no wars between Shiites and Sunnis and Kurds. He would just kill them if they tried to start trouble. And that's how Rome ran things too. Last Sunday, Mark told us of another event that caused offense to the religious authorities. In that gospel reading, he rejected the notion that anyone or anything was ritually impure, a key doctrine of the scribes and Pharisees. Leaving them no doubt unhappy about that, he left Jewish territory with his disciples, and what happened there was going to, in the long run, bring more trouble. Today, he leaves Jewish Galilee and enters what we now call Lebanon, the territory of the Syrians and the Phoenicians. In the light of what's been going on in the Middle East, of that very area, Lebanon and Syria and Mesopotamia, and spilling over now into the rest of the Western world, we can't help but hear this story. A Syrian pagan woman asked Jesus to heal her daughter. Now remember, 200 years earlier, the Syrians had invaded Judea, desecrated the temple, and forced Jews to convert to their religion or die. And the Jews still hated the Syrians and never forgave them of what they did. So Jesus, like a good Jewish man would do, when she wants help, says to her, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to dogs." But she comes back with a witty and spirited argument. "Yes, but even the puppies get to eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table." And Jesus, I think, at that point, saw the light. Some will say, especially if you stick primarily with the Gospel of John, that I just stepped my foot into a big puddle of heresy. But the Gospel of Mark sees apparently no problem with Jesus learning something new. Now, it's not just to the lost sheep of the house of Israel that he realizes he's sent, but to the whole world. And he replies, if we put it in colloquial language, "You got me there, lady. Go, your daughter is healed." Jesus goes on through Syria, where he encounters the deaf mute and heals him in spite of the fact that he's not a Jew, even though Jewish thought was that things like deafness was caused by either that man's sin or his parents' sin. Here again, Jesus demonstrates that in God's kingdom, all are accepted and set free. And if you read on a little more in Mark's gospel, you would discover that while he's there in Syria, he encounters a crowd of thousands of people who were hungry, and with just a little bread and fish, like he had already done earlier with Jews in Galilee, he fed them all with much left over, even though he and the disciples as Jews were not supposed to be eating with those Gentiles. When he returns to Jewish territory, he is confronted by the Pharisees, angrily demanding what he thinks he's up to. And then finally, in the conclusion of this section of the gospel, for which you'll have to wait till next week, he asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" At this point in Mark's account of Jesus' ministry that we've reached, Jesus' message is clear. Rules of society and religion that exclude people are not God's rules. Because on this occasion, an insistent and desperate woman helped him see that God accepts everyone, that he was sent not only for the Jews. He now shows that the kingdom is for all people, and we are called to do the same. And we know exactly what he would have done when he saw the man, the Arab man, Muslim man, looking at his dead boy on the beach this week. He wouldn't have said, "No, you're a Muslim." Let's remember, as we think about all this, that the church is not a historical society that gathers merely to remember what happened once upon a time. The gospel writers are calling us to see again and again where Christ is still carrying on his ministry now in our own time. Where might we see Jesus accepting people who have been rejected by religious purists? That doesn't happen nowadays, does it? Where can we see Jesus trading good-humored debate with insistent foreigners of other religions and inviting them to be part of God's people? Or setting people free from disabilities? Or feeding large number of hungry people? Where could we see Jesus calling us to welcome and care for strangers and aliens? Where can we see division and violence and rejection of strangers and find ourselves called to embody Jesus and the kingdom he ushers in? To answer that, we have to go back to the meaning of our baptism and its weekly renewal in Eucharist. As James told us in last Sunday's second reading, we have been given a new birth to be God's new people. In that new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, we are made into the body of Christ. Therefore, the ministry of Jesus, the kinds of ministry of Jesus to the situations that I just mentioned, is to be done by us, the body of Christ. As James said, we are to be doers of the kingdom and not just hearers of the good news. Through our words and actions, ancient religious traditions that once left people outside are challenged. People of color, children, women, gay and lesbian, blind, refugees, people with disabilities. In the past, all of these were considered ritually unsuitable, and some still are by some Christians. But Christ in us refuses to exclude them. It's impossible for me not to relate this to the events going on right now, when all of the Western world, both Europe and the Americas, are being challenged by the flood of refugees from war and famine. When we see people who are different from us, religion, race, ethnic background, or nationality, will we try to make them go away as Jesus did at first with the Gentile woman? Or will we, as Christ in the world, engage them, listen to their arguments of why they should be welcomed, then, like Jesus did, recognize that the old rules don't apply in God's kingdom and welcome them in? And there are others who too often are excluded. Do we, the body of Christ and the world, for example, make certain that those who cannot hear or see or speak or walk still have full access to to full life in our society, in our church buildings? Are we, the body of Christ in the world, providing food, both material and spiritual, to those who are hungry? James says in today's reading, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them?" Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go in peace, be warm, well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, James says, faith by itself is not if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. I've always loved the story of the Gentile woman who's uppity and argumentative with the Son of God, showing him through her wit and spunk that God's promises extend to every human being. So let us, as James exhorts us, be not merely hearers of the word, but also be doers. And that way, Christ continues to minister in the world today with the same urgency and generosity as he had in the old days. Amen.